Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Sports City. Yes, it is Major. He's back again 2 days in a row. I hope you are having a lovely Monday. If you're tuning in live, we are on. The chat room is up. The call-in number is live, 917-889-9592. I'm sitting here in the kitchen on this lovely, beautiful opening Monday of Major League Baseball with my man Chandler. How you doing, buddy?
Well, it's my national holiday, opening day, so I'm doing okay.
Oh, yeah. You and a lot of other people. And if you're out there at a game, I hope you're enjoying it. Catch us afterwards. This is Chefs on Deck on the Sports City Chefs Network. And yes, it is always a good day when a new season of any kind starts, much less the baseball season. It's been, a dark winter period after that San Fran World Series victory. I know I'm ready for a fresh start, although I got to tell you, my team is making some crazy moves. We'll dive into that in just a second. As usual, check us out on iTunes, search Sports City Chefs. You can always subscribe there and get it on your mobile device the next day. You can also check us out on Blog Talk Radio, Sports City Chefs, and as usual on the website, sportscitychefs.com. Other than that, like I said, I got the chat room open, call-in number is live, and we are diving in. First episode of the year, here we go. So, Chandler, my man, let's get into it. Trade kind of happened in the middle of the night, like thieves. San Diego and Chicago kind of, I would say, cleaned the clock of the Atlanta Braves, stealing Craig Kimbrell from them, heading over to San Diego. Let me get your take first before I kind of expound on my feelings here, Chandler. The Craig Kimbrell trade recently. What are they doing?
I don't know what Atlanta's doing, because they're getting rid of people they don't have to get rid of. They didn't need to get rid of Jason Hayward. They didn't need to get rid of Craig Kimbrell. They didn't need to get rid of Justin Upton. Yeah, they needed to get rid of B.J. Upton, but not at the cost of giving up Craig Kimbrell. And I hear all these scouts are saying, but they got this great minor league talent. The one thing about baseball is minor league talent doesn't translate 85% of the time.
Right.
85% of the time, that great prospect, the guy who's the second coming of Babe Ruth, he winds up being a 4A guy, okay? So if you're in a division that you can get a wild card out of, you're in the National League where you have some vulnerable teams that everyone thinks are going to contend, and you basically traded away this season and next season.
Yeah.
For what? You got the Cab County to build you a ballpark that you didn't need, okay, just so you could get out of Atlanta. Okay, which means that new ballpark, because you got that park built, and you think there's going to be revenue streams coming from it. So what? Now you don't have to field a good team. I don't know, but Atlanta is making, I think it's just huge mistakes all across the board.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up three good points that I would answer you on. First, they're giving up this season and next season. Yes, I couldn't agree more. At the cost of potentially having that bullpen set for when you do have these young prospect pitchers come up in 3 years, 4 years, now what are you going to do with your bullpen? So that's answer one. First, couldn't agree more. Two, the fact that you're cleaning house in a division that's pretty much, I mean, look, the Nationals are front runners, but they didn't do much last year in the first round. They weren't able to get out of the first round of the playoffs. And, I mean, the Braves haven't much in the past couple years either, so to speak, but they're a perennial contender in that division. And while the Mets and the Marlins and the Phillies are all neck-deep in rebuilding mode, you suddenly, out of nowhere, after barely missing the playoffs last year, decide to rebuild overnight? It's just, it really makes no sense. And then on the third note, this young talent that they're getting from other places, like you said, it doesn't translate. Minor league talent doesn't translate. And especially when you have the farm systems in Major League Baseball, how they do move from team to team, there's no consistency. There's no development. There's no system, so to speak, that says, okay, I'm a Braves minor leaguer. That means I'm preparing to become an Atlanta Brave. No, you're a Braves minor leaguer that's preparing to become a Chicago Cub or a San Diego Padre. And they do things differently in those systems. So that may be why, or vice versa, you're a San Diego Padre prospect or a Cub prospect, and you suddenly have to become an Atlanta Brave prospect overnight, and then that kind of wipes away all the conditioning, all the training, all the preparation you've been doing over X amount of years since you were drafted or signed or whatever it was, thinking, I'm carving a rollout for myself underneath this particular team. This is what I've been working towards. Now, all of a sudden, that blows up for certain guys, and that becomes a mark of like a shadow of doubt, and they don't understand what their role is going to become in these new systems. Sure, Craig Kimbrell knows exactly what he's going to become because he's established, you know. But when you take certain guys that are positional players, I don't mean the pitchers, I mean more like positional players, and mix them up like that. Sure, left field's always going to be left field. But playing left field next to someone like an Upton or a Jason Hayward is different than just playing left field. You know what I mean? Like, it's back. I'm just going to go back a couple years in the Braves' history when you had a guy like Hayward coming up, and you had Andrew Jones in the outfield and Chipper Jones on third base, and you were bringing up a guy like Simmons, and then you sign a guy like Dan Uggla to come in and kind of play go-between them and whoever was going to pick up. I mean, I used to think Martin Prado was going to be our infielder utility guy for life. He hasn't, I mean, and now he's playing on the Marlins, and he's been bouncing around from team to team for years. This is what, I think this is at the heart of the matter here. In baseball, more so than any other sport, Chandler, there is too much cavalier activity. There's too much, oh, we're just going to exchange this player and that player and this player and that player and think it's just going to be a good team. That way there's all these really good paper champions in the preseason, like right now in the very beginning of the season. And you and I both know, you know, it's 190 days worth of intense, you know, back and forth slugfest series that you never know who's going to come out in the end and win the World Series like the Giants did. You know what I mean? So you're right. It's my mind is racing. I look at it as like this, dude. I've been conditioned to think Craig Kimbrell is going to be a Brave for my whole life, loving him. Now what do you do with marketing? You've planned a lot of stuff around this guy. I mean, I can only imagine what fans in Atlanta are thinking, you know?
Yeah, it's I think it affects pitchers more than anything, because in every organization, they want their pitchers to throw certain pitches. You look at Tampa Bay, all of their pitchers, they know how to throw changeups. You go to other organizations, they only want their guys throwing two-seamers. So they don't want their guys throwing splitters. So now you take these supposed, you know, high-ceiling pitchers, which if they were that high-ceiling, they wouldn't have traded them to you, first of all.
Right.
And now you have to figure out, does their stuff translate to what you teach in your system? So you've set them back at least one season, at least. Because let's say these guys are they specialize in two-seamers and you want guys to throw change-ups. You know, you can't just throw a change-up. Okay, it takes you at least a season, if you've never really focused on throwing a changeup, to learn how to throw a changeup.
Yeah.
So I get the so-called scouts of the world who love to talk about high ceiling and all of this, that, and the other. And that all sounds good when you need to sell it to the fans who don't really pay attention. But if you played and you watch and you pay attention, you'll notice that a lot of the times with these trades, they got four guys in this trade. Maybe one of those guys will wind up pitching for the Atlanta Braves.
Right. Right. I mean, I'm not sure. Hang on one second. Sorry, I had a technical difficulty there. My thing is exactly that. It's you give me a cluster of five players or four players or whatever, and it's like I have all these shots on goal, so to speak, that could work, but you're right. Only one of them are really going to pan out, and even if still, it's a miracle if it's a jackpot hit. So, you know, I don't even know how to equate it to anything else, because it's just so alarming that these general managers operate with such careless disregard for what they've already begun, the process they've already begun. And I halfway blame the GM for Atlanta for coming in the middle of something and not understanding what was going on before he got there. You know, and I think deciding kind of like the Chip Kelly idea and philosophy in football, these guys aren't my guys. Even though they're good players, they're not who I would have ever condoned bringing on this team. So I'm just going to purge myself of all of them and start over again and set the franchise back by a year or two. Even more, maybe. I don't know. It's upsetting.
And you know, they've already released Carlos Quinn, by the way. They already released
exactly.
him.
Exactly. Why did you trade for him in the first place? What was the point of that? And look, I understand you're getting rid of salary, and I understand you're trying to, like, minimize expense because you are building a new stadium that you don't need, you know, like, but at the same time, how do you expect to generate any kind of attention or attendance? No one's going to come to these games.
But again, you're not getting rid of salary because in baseball, remember, you can release a guy. You still got to pay him.
That's right.
Someone's guaranteed you still have to pay Carlos Quinton that money, and that's not an insignificant amount of money. He and Cameron Maybin themselves would have, I think, sitting on the bench between the two, they would have been collecting somewhere between $9 and $10 million for the two of those guys to sit on the bench. Okay, so this is not insignificant money. So you moved money, but you took money back, and now that money you're paying to a guy who can't even help your team.
Right. What frivolous waste. What frivolous waste all the way around. It's got to be probably like if there was an EPA kind of board that watched over the Major League Baseball system, they would obviously be giving out so many sanctions and penalties and fines just the way these teams throw players around like they're garbage. I don't know. Speaking of, that kind of rolls into the next topic that I wanted to bring up in the beginning of the season before we dive into opening day today. I guess, and this is first I've really heard of it until this morning, we're starting this season with more players on the disabled list than any other year before this. Something like 115 players are injured or designated on the list to start the season, Chandler. I mean, that's an unprecedented amount, obviously. It's never happened before. But when you got guys like Verlander and Josh Hamilton, Yu Darvish, Matt Wieters, Cliff Lee, Kenley, I mean, the list is going on and on for, like, these players that are going to miss out. Here's my question on this. Is this something where maybe do you think, and this is just a devil's advocate thought, do you think that in case of potential playoff race or situation or circumstance at the end of the season, teams would rather play it safe now, because it is such a long season, teams like the Dodgers or the Angels or the Rangers or whatever that know they have the nucleus and the chance, maybe without one or two of their main pieces, to be there in the end, to really start taking their time with recovery on certain players so that then at the end of the season maybe you're a little fresher?
Well, yeah, and that's something the Yankees have done for years. When they put a guy on the 15-day disabled list, he was going to be gone 30 days.
Right.
It was guaranteed. Whether he was ready in 15 days or not, he was going to wait an extra 2 weeks. That's just how they do it. And I think a lot of teams are doing it. But I also think part of this is and people are going to look at you, you're going to look at me crazy, but the lack of PEDs in baseball, okay, because guess what? You don't have that regeneration and that extra muscle growth. So guess what? Guys are wearing down more. And the fact that, you know what? We need six-man pitching rotations. I'm sorry. We need six-man pitching rotations because they're burning guys out, especially the pitchers, with the stress that all these guys are throwing split fingers, with the stress that puts on the arm. You need a six-man rotation. And if you notice, every Japanese pitcher that has come over, who was never hurt in Japan, has had his arm blow out here in the States because they went from a six-man rotation to a five-man rotation. And I, you know, these guys are playing year-round. They're playing in the Dominican leagues and in the Venezuelan leagues and in the Arizona Fall League, and they're working out all the time. And like I said, I think the lack of PEDs in some of these cases, I'm not saying guys were using them, but we're seeing a lot more injuries now that all the PEDs are out of the game. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, it is funny. I didn't even think about that because, you know, there's also that age-old kind of theory that when you were on steroids, at least, you were more injury-prone. But I guess PEDs kind of eliminate that so to speak, because they don't have quite the side effects that a steroid would. But that is interesting. I wonder, you know, I would say to the conditioning departments of every team, now that we are, you know, migrated out of this PED, post-PED generation or you know, just kind of cycle that we've been in here, why wouldn't they go to certain lengths and extents to kind of create better conditioning programs or monitor some of these more at-risk players who, you know, who knows if Josh Hamilton is a PED user or not or whatever, but one can only imagine, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, try to pay more attention to these guys and kind of offer them, I wouldn't say special treatment, but try to dive in and really figure out why you're going to have a guy who has never really had much injury, you know, occurrences in his past, suddenly has all these, you know, one after the other, one after the other, after the other. I think first of Verlander, he's never really had big injury issues, but this one's like big for him, and it could take a hit on the Detroit, you know, plan of things as the season goes on. I don't know. You'd think you want to pay a little more attention to one of your aces, you know.
Baseball is one of the most stubborn sports.
It is.
They love to cling to the "this is the way we've always done it and it's always
right.
worked" theories. And they don't want change. Change is glacial in baseball.
Yeah.
It's glacial. And the things that you're talking about are things that people have been suggesting for the past 10 years. And you have a couple of teams. You know, a couple of teams are now starting to do those things. But the majority of them, hey, that's the way we've always done it. Don't worry about it. We'll be fine.
Yeah, it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. It's the money ball philosophy. It's you're introducing something that's so not what we do that we're going to reject it because we're so afraid of it, it may change exactly what we love about what we do.
Right.
Stigmas, oh, they're terrible. Heading right into another one here, I'm going to stick with the Cubs on this. There was a big, you know, we have a lot of good young stars, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, coming up in the game right now, and there's this one prospect for Chicago, Chris Bryant, who everyone's kind of surprised is not on the opening day roster. And I think, you know, it goes something where they're not quite ready, this is at least what I've heard of them, they're not quite ready to funnel him into the platoon they have going on or the lineup that they have. They're still working with things, and by all accounts, we'll probably see him at some point in the season, but it's one of those things where when you're the Cubs, Chandler, and you're always mired in terribleness, you're never just mediocre, you're always just pretty bad, and you have a guy like this who could maybe fill the seats and spark some kind of belief in the team, why wouldn't you allow him to come play immediately in the season? I guess I'm kind of at a loss for that.
Because the Cubs know they're not going to pay him when it comes time for him to be a free agent. This is about them not having getting a hold on to him for one extra year. He needs to not play 183 days, and that's a full service year. So he has to miss 12 of those days. So he only has 172, and then they get to hold on to him for an extra year. This is about money. It's got nothing to do with anything other than money, which tells you right off the top that they don't plan on keeping this kid.
Right.
They don't plan on keeping him. Because if he is that good, right, then you would bring him up, and if he turns out to be that good, do what the Rays did with Longoria. Lock him up for like 10 years right now. Do what the Marlins did with Giancarlo Stanton. Lock him up for 10 years right now in his 20s, so by the time he gets his 30s, the contract is ending, and you're off the hook for the money.
Right.
But they're not going to do that. So that already tells me that Chris Bryant will not be a Cub in 5 years. That already tells
and
me.
If I'm a Cub fan, that upsets me greatly because that means I'll never really get to see him play.
Exactly.
You know?
When
that's
he
sad.
Gets really good, he'll be with somebody else.
Yeah, that's terrible, man. I mean, that's just like a disgrace to the game. You're keeping a player out of your lineup and out of the stadiums, not just yours, but to travel as well. I mean, it gets back to this. I've always said this, okay? There are sports fans, and then there are Yankee fans. You know, there are people that only want what's good for the Yankees and only want what's good. This is just an analogy. I don't mean exactly Yankee fans, but they're the franchise I use in this analogy. You only like your team. You only like what's ever good for them. I could give two shits what it does for the sport or the community or anything else. I only care about my team. How egocentric, how ethnocentric of you to only consider that, Chicago, and only think about your own wallet as opposed to the sport itself, and not only that, probably the city itself, the community that supports your shitty team every year, that wants to see them win, that wants to see them try their best every year. And when you do shit like this, it just tells them, you know what, we don't really care. We're just looking to make money, and at the end of the day, we're going to find whatever we want best in any scenario we're placed with, and whatever that may be, will be. We don't really care about what you guys say. And for me, that's the reason why I think a lot of fans are moving on to sports like UFC, are moving on to things like NASCAR, or even the NFL. You know, that you lose fans in a game, why they change pace of play rules. We'll get into that in a second. They do these things because they're trying to make up for the shitty organizational philosophies that go on in every team's basically hierarchy.
See, people miss George Steinbrenner now. Because they realized that with all the money he spent, all he cared about was winning. All he wanted was for the Yankees winning. He would spend every dime he had. We are now in an era of ownership across baseball where they could care less if their teams win. They want to make money. They want to turn a profit. So they're going to do what they have to do to turn a profit. If that means they gut the team every couple of years, Jeffrey Loria, or if that means that they put up scoreboards and block the rooftop view that's been there for centuries, Chicago, you know, that's what they're going to do. You know, or if it's the Mets who are going to go on the cheat, even though this is a big market team and they only want to spend $60 million. Why? So the Wilpons can turn a dime?
Right.
This is the era of baseball we're in now where the owners don't care about winning. They don't care about winning. All they care about is making a profit.
I guess where did they lose the foresight, though, that winning is profit? I mean, when you win a World Series, or at least a division, I mean, your revenue has to skyrocket. So I guess I don't understand that correlation. I mean, because...
Well, you have corporations that own these franchises now.
Yeah.
And anybody who's ever worked for a large corporation knows that those corporations make decisions, and they don't make sense to us, but up in those sky-high offices, those guys get the golden parachutes where they walk out the door with $40 million in their pocket.
Right.
Because they have bean counters who say, well, we take a loss here, but we'll make it up here, here, and here, and here. Because remember, the TV deals, they're getting money off these TV deals.
Yeah.
So whether there's two people in the stadium or no people in the stadium, they already got their money and the merchandising. So whether the fans go to the game or not, doesn't matter. Because you're paying for it when you buy cable. You're paying for it when you have to use Comcast or Xfinity or whoever it is, you're paying them. They're making money hand over fist.
It's disgusting. It really is. Because then it removes the purity of the game. I mean, until the PED steroid era, I mean, everybody, I think, thought baseball was like one of the last, you know, kind of nostalgic things about America, and now it's you're right, it's so much more corporate and commercial than it's ever been, and you know, winning is definitely falling to the wayside. So I think we're being joined in the kitchen now by our man Matt in Atlanta. Matty boy, what's going on, man?
Hey, how y'all doing today? Happy opening day.
Hey, what's up, man?
You too, man. Doing well. What's let's go back to our Atlanta topic since you are there. What's the temperature down there?
It's around like 55 or 60 right now. It's odd. It's real cold in the morning, and then it kind of warms up. And then
Matt, I didn't actually mean the actual temperature. I guess I kind of meant more, how's everybody feeling about losing Craig?
Oh man! I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of boycotts going on. I'm not even kidding. I've seen people posting And it's not really good right now, but it is a lot of money freed up, and it's good to get BJ up and send him on his way at least.
Yeah, I mean, but like Chandler said, we could have done that without getting rid of Craig. You know.
Yeah, they really should have kept Craig, man. I'm really bummed about that. He was out the best closer.
Exactly. If there's one person you want to spend money on, and you should be able to afford, it's the best closer in baseball. I mean, that's he's irreplaceable. There will not be another Craig Kimbrell for another 15, 20 years. You know what I mean?
I'm sure the Padres required that he came if they're taking BJ. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I'm sure you all know better than me, but I'm sure it was a package deal.
Yeah.
That may be, but actually what it was is in order for them to give them Kimbrell, they had to take BJ Upton, but it's still a bad trade.
It's a bad trade. It's terrible. I don't want to be a fair weather, but I normally attend 15 to 20 Braves games a year, but they're going to be lucky to get me in there even one time this year.
See, this is exactly what I'm saying. Like, you're a Braves fan. I'm a Braves fan. Like, I don't go to close to as many games, but I'm going to two when they play the Dodgers this year when they come to L.A. I'm going to two of those games. Now, I'm like, who am I going to see? Who am I going to see, man?
Watered-down version of what you're supposed to have. It's exactly what I heard y'all talk about before I came on. It's a corporation now. It's all about dollars. It's all about television deals. They don't care about winning or losing. You know what the Braves owner cares about? When the Yankees and Red Sox come to town, he's selling out for three nights. He could give a flying hoot if the Braves get swept. In fact, he probably actually wants those Yankees fans to be happy, because then they'll buy more merchandise and they'll buy more alcohol and they'll spend more money.
Yeah, it's true. You think, you know, in a day and age in which fantasy sports play such a large part of the attendance and audience base for a lot of these things, you know, you'd think that they would understand that the Yankee-Red Sox rivalry or even Yankee-Dodger or whatever, these things are kind of fading away because it's all about the players now. You know, it's all about seeing Verlander versus Prince Fielder, or, you know, you want to see the matchups of the players, not necessarily of the teams. Am I right? I mean, I feel like we're at that point now where
it's more about superstars. I think you're right. It's more about the matchups, the juicy matchups, you know, whatever's on prime time, ESPN, you know, who they're touting up. Even last night, it was a pretty good story, you know, because they're hyping up the Cubs.
Right.
Of course, you know, they got shut out.
Such hype. Maybe if they would have let Chris Bryant play.
Yeah, you guys were talking about that guy. I'm not familiar with him. I'll have to look into him. But I'm sure there's guys that should be playing that, you know, are either held back because of, you know, some political issue, or, you know, the money's not right, or their contract. I mean, it's just, it really has become, and you just take the Braves for example, a watered down version of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to see the perfect example, now, Starlin Castro is an all-star shortstop. Yes, we know that he has some defensive lapses, but this kid is a stud, okay? The Cubs have been trashing him publicly, leaking different things, for the past two seasons. Why? Because they want to get rid of him without the fans being mad, so they can bring up the kid in the minor leagues who they'll have financial control of for the next 5 years. That's really what that's about. And that's what baseball is now. Baseball is now about, we want to have financial control over the players, and so when we want to get rid of them, we start leaking everything to the press so that we can tarnish his reputation and move him on. Because, yeah, the era of fantasy baseball is here. And if you don't think baseball is getting cut off for all these fantasy baseball leagues, come on.
I know. It's dirty pool. Dirty pool. They're playing these games. I don't know. It almost makes me think, where's the Major League Baseball Players Union? I mean, you see the NBA and the NFL Players Unions always going to bat for their players and for the situations that they get into with the owners and the league brass. I don't see much noise out of the Major League Baseball Players Association here on these things.
No, well, Tony Clark is the president, and Tony Clark was a guy who was a go-along, get-along type of guy when he played. Why would he change as the president of the union?
Right.
I mean, he's not somebody I would have chosen as president of a union. You know, he's a good guy. Tony Clark was a great guy from everything I've heard, people who met him, great in the community, very charitable, all those things. But this is not a guy you want leading a union against baseball. This was a guy who took less money a lot of times and stayed in losing situations because he didn't want to move. Okay, that's the guy you want running your union? Are you kidding me?
Totally. Give me Pedro Martinez up in there. I need somebody who's feisty, who's going to get after them, who's going to push back, you know? I mean, here's one last thing I'll go into with our soft toss news and notes here. The rule changes, the pace of play stuff that they've introduced for this season. They're trying to knock off maybe 5 to 12 minutes off a game, but from all intents and purposes, it ain't done nothing in spring training, you know? I mean, they got to keep 1 foot in the batter's box between pitches. They're going to have these inning countdown timers in between every inning. Managers are going to be able to signal instant replay challenges if they want instead of going to the field. And I guess players are going to be fined if they don't follow the batter's box rule or something like that. I mean, how ticky-tacky is this? And, like, I understand that you want to make it, but you're doing it the wrong way, right, guys? I mean, everything we have said up until this and now talking about this would be a better thing to pay attention to than changing the game itself.
Well, my question is this. Who are you speeding the game up for? Because you're not supposed to go to a baseball game.
Right.
Listen, after I spend the $400, you know, to take my family of four just to get the tickets and parking, okay, and then spend another $150 on concessions, I want that game to last all night. Okay,
after
I pay the mortgage payment to take my family to the game, I want that game to last all night. I don't care that ESPN wants the game to end a certain amount of time. They're getting it for free. I'm the one who has to pay to go to these games. I want that game to last forever. Okay,
I want extra innings.
Exactly. They're not doing this to help the fans. Once again, they're doing it for their purposes. It has nothing to do with the whole fans. No, we don't want a faster game. What we want is for you to play better games. There's a difference.
That's right. I mean, Matt, I have to think at some point this will disrupt the actual game flow itself.
Oh, are you talking about going back to the Braves?
I'm just talking about the pace of play rules they're enacting. I mean,
when you
take a pitcher off his game or a batter off his mojo or his process, you're disrupting that process. You're not going to get the same result.
I wonder what side it fades, though. I guess we'll have to pay close attention to it this year.
Yeah, we'll see whether or not it actually alleviates or if it helps or hinders the pitcher or the batter one way or the other. I don't know. I tend to agree with Chandler, man. I think that it's something where I'm paying my money's worth. Like any other game, it's going to cost me a chunk of my kid's college education to take the whole family out. I mean, for some of us who are, you know, either single or just have significant others, no families, I mean, it can be cheaper. But when you're taking mom, both kids, and you got to hire, you know, or you got a baby at home, you got to leave the baby at home with a babysitter, whatever it may be, like, you're spending too much money. You better get your money's worth.
Oh, absolutely. And if you think about it, too, I'll mention television again. These major league ball clubs are getting paid by television. So they don't necessarily, like the Braves, they know that during their day games they're not going to sell out, but as long as they make it back when a team like the Yankees or Red Sox comes to town, they're good at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yep. And playing on that matchup game, trying to play that matchup game. So let's get into opening day then, guys. Kind of enough of the jargon here, all the politics that go along with this. Let's get back to a little bit of the purity. We've had a couple games already go in the books. The Rockies took down the Brewers 10-0. They had 16 friggin' hits in that game. Jeez, they unloaded against Milwaukee. I guess Milwaukee must be in some kind of rebuilding mode, too, although I don't know if they know it yet. We also have the Phillies losing to the Red Sox right now in the eighth. They're up 4-0 on the Phils. We got the Orioles and the Devil Rays, or the Rays, excuse me. They will always be the Devil Rays for me. I don't care. Orioles 5-1 right now over the Rays. Got the Mets and the Nats tied up in Washington 2-1, favoring the Mets right now. Kansas City's beating Chicago, the White Sox 3-0. And we also got the Mariners beating the Angels 3-1. Those games are all kind of in progress. We got the Pirates and the Reds are delayed. I think maybe a rain delay is going on there. Dodgers, Padres are going on too. That's right around the corner here from me. 2-1 Dodgers there. And of course, the Braves and the Marlins are tied up 1-1. Earlier today, some other games that ended, the Blue Jays just smoked Tanaka and the Yankees 6-1. And then the Tigers beat the Twins 4-0. So, lay of the land there, guys. It's hard to think of where to start when you start with the new season of baseball any year, because it's anyone's game. The field is wide open. Everyone's pretty much at even, even though there are some heavy favorites like the Nationals and the Dodgers and the Padres. For the first inaugural show here, we don't really have much game action to chew on, but I will throw it to you first, Chandler. I'm not sure how much of today you've gotten to watch, but anything of interest or of note that you maybe want to throw out there?
Well, I watched the Yankee game, and you know that I said this last year. I can't stand Brian McCann. I think he's terrible.
Right.
I watched him call the same pitch sequence on every batter, and then they couldn't understand why Tanaka got smoked today. He refused to call a fastball. Now, the announcers of the game will lead you to believe that Masahiro Tanaka throws 95, 96 miles an hour. He doesn't. His average fastball last year was 93. This year, spring training, it was 90, 91. That's more than enough fastball to get out major league hitters if you locate. Brian McCann refused to ask him to throw a fastball. All he threw was breaking balls. If you're a major league hitter and you know what's coming, you're going to hit it. So enough with that. But the Mets deal, the Nationals, I don't understand why they're still relying on Ryan Zimmerman, because he's going to get hurt again.
Yep.
Sorry, he's going to get hurt again. And I don't get it. That's why I don't believe in the Nationals. But I mean, like you say, it's the first day, but there's going to be people jumping off cliffs about Tanaka. Oh, he's going to – you know what? It's the first game. His catcher did a bad job. I like the Padres. I do like the Padres. I like what they did, and I think they're going to, do a lot of things. But right now, so far, at least it's been good games. Other than the Yankee game so far, I'm seeing some good games. And Bryce Harper hit a bomb in this game against the Mets.
I missed that. I didn't see that. I've been stuck at the desk, but I'll watch the highlights later. I have to agree with you on the McCann thing, though, and that's something that's happened more in the latter part of his career. He used to be a really great behind-the-plate catcher. When he was a Brave, he was the cornerstone, and he was a clutch hitter. But then suddenly they started making the playoffs, and then he became not so clutch. He's had some milk carton postseasons, that's for sure, and it's just kind of lasted into a hangover with him with the Yankees now. I know I used to be a big McCann fan, but you're right, Chandler. He's become a terrible player. I don't know if, Matt, you have any insight on McCann's play there and becoming a Yankee, but, man, he's a shell of the player he used to be.
Anything with New York, I trust Chandler, and I think you've seen his numbers dwindle. It sounded like McCann just took the money and ran.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You know, I do honestly think, though, that the Yankees probably do have a good chance this year. They're flying under the radar, and they can get him on his game and A-Rod back into form and, keep the staff healthy, even though they're not so healthy at the moment, get them healthy. I don't know. We could see the Yankees being – and, it's funny. Talk about dark horses. The champions are a dark horse. No one's talking about San Francisco at all either. And the guys in that clubhouse just love that, I think. I think they relish the fact that no one's like, oh, San Fran, oh. Everyone's like, Dodgers, Padres. And then here come the Giants just sneaking right up on them probably in August and stealing the division away. I don't know.
The Giants are like the Spurs. They're like the every other year team.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So I just don't trust the Giants to do it consistently. For whatever reason, Bochy will have one great season managing, and the next season with the exact same team, they'll be like a half beat off. They won't be terrible, but they won't be good either.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I'm leaning for the Padres right now, because, as Don Mattingly, for me, as a manager, he should have been fired 2 years ago.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Don Mattingly, the Dodgers will never win as long as Don Mattingly is their manager.
I concur.
They're not going to win. So,
I concur.
I think the National League West is wide open for the Padres. And if you look at the team they're going to roll out there every day, in that ballpark, they can pitch. They got guys who can go get the ball. And they got guys who can't get it out of there. But you got gap-to-gap hitters now. Matt Kemp can't hit home runs. He's a gap hitter with power.
Yep.
Their outfield is a gap hitter with power. Their infield is a gap hitter with power. And now they got a closer and a bullpen. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And that's a gap hitter's ballpark. Bottom line, that park is going to create so many extra base hits for the new outfield they've put together and save. I mean, it's not like Kimbrel gets into a lot of tight spots, but if he ever does, boy, he's going to be glad he's pinching at Petco. You know? What's that, Matt?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I said he might get in one today because the Padres just took the lead on the Dodgers 3-2, I see.
Oh, there you go. Look at that. Chandler prognosticating already. On point.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Chandler.
Oh,
no,
no,
go ahead, man.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting, Kimbrel on the Padres. I don't know if I can even handle watching that for a few weeks. That makes me sick to my stomach.
Well, he's so close to me here. I'm going to see him a lot now, which kind of makes me happy because I love him as a player. I just hate seeing him in that uniform. You know what I mean?
Well, when we traded Justin Upton away, I was joking around. I said, I'm moving to San Diego because they got so many good players there now.
Yeah, right. Oh, shit. All right, let's kind of – real quick, though, while we're talking about this, let's break down each division a little bit, and let's stick with the National League. So we kind of talked about the West for the most part. Let's move on to the Central. Cardinals are probably looking like they might be the favorites. I don't know how much I buy into the Cubs, guys. I think that it's all hype, like you said, Chandler. It's just wishful thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of the Cubs. The Cubs are going to be terrible again. And the Cardinals, I liken the Cardinals, again, to the Spurs, that organization that they look bad, and you look up, and they're in the playoffs. You know, so I'm always going to pick the Cardinals in the Central because no matter what happened, for the past, 10 years almost, it's been the Cardinals in the Central. I like Pittsburgh, but you know what? I got to go with St. Louis. They've made some good additions, and for whatever reason, that organization just knows how to sign the right guy who fits what they do.
Yeah, I know. Matt, what do you think?
You know, I picked the Cubs yesterday. That was so dumb. They can't even hit the ball. But I think you're right. The Cardinals and maybe the Reds, those are the two dominant teams in the Central. I always see Pittsburgh as a choke team. I don't see them really doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Pittsburgh do a little more than just make the playoffs with the talent they have, because if they don't capitalize on the talent they have now, they're going to wither away, and then it'll just be gone. It'll be up in smoke, you know? But I'm going to say I like the Cardinals to take the division again this year. I don't see anybody else really coming to play the game that they play, and with the moves they made in the offseason, I mean, they're looking like the strongest team. Let's finish up the National League in the East, then. I'm pretty sure we're all probably on the same boat that, yeah, Washington's probably going to win the division, but I don't know if they're going to do anything more with it. Matt, what do you think? I mean, does Miami have a chance?
I was just going to admit, because that was the only game I actually sat down and watched. I followed the Yankees game a little bit, but the game I was actually watching was Atlanta-Miami, and they actually ran through the lineup of Miami. And I'll tell you, they put together kind of a veteran crew. They got, you remember Prado for the Braves, used to play for the Braves. They got him at third. They picked up D. Gordon from the Dodgers. You know, if they can stay healthy, I think that they will compete with Washington, but I still think Washington is head and shoulders above anybody in that division.
Yeah, I mean, they have to just have the talent. That's all. But that's the thing, is that these paper teams with talent, do they come together at the end of the season? I don't know. Only time will tell. American League, East. Ooh, Baltimore? Ah, man. I mean, with Weeders out, and I'm not sure how the bullpen looks anymore in Baltimore. It kind of looks shaky for me. I think I'm going to go with the Orioles to take the division, but the Blue Jays scare me, and I think the Blue Jays could have a chance at it.
I don't believe in the Blue Jays because Jose Reyes was already grabbing at the back of his ankle today on the first day. You know Batista's going to get hurt. You know Burley's going to be out. The Blue Jays stay hurt, and John Gibbons he's a placeholder manager. He's not a winning manager. I look to Showalter the same way. Showalter's not a guy that's going to get your team to a World Series. He's not. He'll build your team and build your foundation. He's not the guy you want trying to win a World Series with. So, to me, it comes down to Boston and the Yankees. I'm going to go Yankees because I don't believe in Boston's lineup. I know everybody's touting Mookie Betts and this, that, and the third. You know what? They were ready to trade him last year. Now, all of a sudden, he's a Hall of Famer. I'm not buying the hype. I'm not buying the hype. They've already lost their catcher. Buchholz, come on, man. Buchholz is you know, he's so inconsistent. He's consistently inconsistent. They don't have an ace at the top of that staff. I got to go with the Yankees, but I tell you what, you know, the American League East is just going to cannibalize each other.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Matt, what do you think?
I'm high on the O train, Baltimore. I think that's their division. You could be right about the pitching will be their issue. I think you said the bullpen. But then again, you know, Yankees, Toronto, Boston, they're always in the market or players and, like you said, matchups. So they're gonna. It's gonna be. It's always a tight race. It's always an interesting division. But I gotta give the O train credit where credit's due, and I think that they're gonna take the division finally.
All right. Look at that. I'm the only one on the Baltimore wagon there. All right. Let's move on to the American League Central. Got the Tigers, who are always in contention there. But the Royals, of course, last year after last year's World Series run. I don't know, man. Kind of like Kansas City, 2 years in a row.
I'm going Cleveland Indians. I'm going with the Indians, man. I like Terry Francona. I liked him when he played. I actually saw him play. And saw his father play. But I just like the Indians. I like what they're doing. They're building from within. They're locking up their young guys. So I'm going to go out on the limb, and I'm saying Cleveland takes the Central.
Matt?
Well, my heart would love to agree with Chandler. I got some family from old Cleveland, and I'll tell you that the guy they got pitching tonight, he's a stud, Kluber. I like him big time. He's a big-time pitcher, but the rest of their staff is nothing special. I'll side with the World Series runner-up, and I'll say Kansas City will win a division at the end of the day. Well, Detroit or Kansas City are going to be the front runners. You know, Cleveland's going to be chasing them.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of another one of those dog-eat-dog divisions, I think, like Chandler was saying about the East. The Central could be the same way. And honestly, so could the West. I mean, Oakland, strong. Angels, strong. Seattle could be strong. Texas, strong. And now that Houston's moving that division, and they got a bunch of young players, too. I'm going to go on a limb and say that the A's take the division this year. I think the Angels make the playoffs, but I like the A's to take the division. Matt?
I think it's going to be the LA Angels. It's been long overdue for them. I think it depends on, obviously, Pujols' production. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you're right. It does depend on how healthy everybody can stay for the Angels because they've, you know, they've had some injury concerns over the last couple of years of keeping everybody healthy when they need them the most. So, yep. I don't know. It's kind of exciting just to think about opening day. Take it in for a moment. You know, I'm not really sure what to really go into in terms of fantasy yet because the teams have all kind of been drafted and we're kind of just on the cusp of the beginning. But we will have more of a fantasy section on this show going forward week to week, I think. But for me, myself, I'm actually running out of time here on my end, guys, so I don't have a lot left to throw out there. But let's wrap the show up for today. We will have much more to digest next week at our regularly scheduled time, which is going to be on Sunday afternoons. The time could probably switch around, but as long as you're checking the Sports City Chefs website, you'll be able to find us. And, of course, if you're subscribed on iTunes, you'll always get it there a couple hours after we're done with the broadcast. So I want to thank Matt for joining. Matt, thank you very much, sir, for coming back to the kitchen and joining us for the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. I'll give my one pick of the night. I'll take Cleveland Indians tonight with the guy I talked up, Kluber. I think they'll get it done against Houston. And I will also have a lot of interesting fantasy, mostly pitching prospects to tout up. I'm probably going to sign up for some leagues here when I get home tonight.
Awesome. Sounds good. Matt will be our fantasy prognosticator. And, of course, Chandler, my man, appreciate you doing the time change for me today. We'll catch you next week, and I'm sure you'll be on another show this week probably. What are you be on? What's your next show?
Tuesday. What do we got on Tuesday?
Cookout?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah. Word up. As usual, I'm the Mage. Check me out on Twitter at the Major Gray, and of course, always check us out on the website, sportscitychefs.com. Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if you don't know, now you know it's opening day.